Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord again. Amen. God's so good. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Spirit of Truth. Amen. What's a church service without it? Praise God. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is what makes a difference. And the truth of and the knowledge of God makes the difference. God will meet anybody anywhere, no matter what they have or don't have in Him. But the reason for Him meeting with them is so that He can bring them to this. The goodness of God, the scripture says, leads us to repentance. Amen? And repentance leads to salvation. And that's where God's taking us on a journey in this life so that we'll be ready for that which is to come. Don't think too much about that which is yet to come if you're not where you need to be now in this life. This is the launch pad. Amen. This is where we need to get what the scripture talks about in Christ. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. And God wants to bring everybody, no matter what religion they're in, philosophy they're in, what branch of Christianity they're in, He wants to bring them all back to repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And believing that He's one God and not a divided deity. Amen. Enough of the paganistic nonsense. We live in a world where truth, amen, still marches on. And God is bringing us all to truth. And that's His desire. We don't want to mess that up for anybody. That's why we are good to those of the household of faith, and we don't spend our time fighting or hating people. We might preach strong truth, but it's in love. It's not in hatred. It's not because we're irritated that they don't see what we see. It's because the great God and Savior is a leader, and He's leading us, and He wants everybody to be led to the fullness of what we say we have. Yes. Praise God. Of what we say we live. Why you look the way you look, why you do what you do, why you don't look the way you don't look, and why you don't do a bunch of stuff that you don't do is all as a result of the fullness of God that He has brought us unto. Praise the Lord. And if you're not living up to it, you're only cheating yourself, you're only fooling yourself, you're only hindering your chances of being able to launch forward into that which is yet to come. Amen? I'm so glad to be here. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah 9. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's so good. Praise God. Thank God for the victory. Thank God for the liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This truth is marching on. This church is marching on. We may not always be in the same facility. But the building's never been the church anyway. And we've just about outlasted this place. And we're okay with that. We're just more okay with being the church. Praise the Lord. What Jesus has created, what He shed blood to create, we want to be that. As it is written in the Word of God, that He loved us, right? Doesn't Scripture say He first loved us? We love Him because He first loved us. But He never loved us in word only. He loved us in deed. And we're commanded by the Apostle John in repeating all the things that Jesus taught. Let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Show me that you love me. I'd rather see it than hear it. So we thank God for that real love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the real Holy Ghost, that we can love one another, real love, demonstrated love, a love that comes from the love that was manifested to take away our sins. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 9, I want to read to you verse 6. It's something I want to share with you from this wonderful verse of Scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. I'm going to read one more verse of scripture to you. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Thank you, Jesus. If there be any consolation in Christ, verse 1, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, compassion, in other words, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion, or in the form of, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. Praise God. No matter the fact that he knew who he was, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That's the real message when you want to talk about the Father and the Son, and you want to talk about flesh and spirit, and you want to talk about the invisible and the visible, right? The unseen and the manifestation of the unseen. Amen. That's the message. And that's the truth that you start teaching when you start reading these verses of Scripture. See, the one God message is so far greater than just one or two verses that say he's one God. All the Word of God teaches how he's one God, why he's one God, and why he still remained one God after that Jesus was born, crucified, buried, and resurrected, and ascended to glory. And why only one sits upon the throne. When he said, I am the Lord, there's none else. He meant exactly what he said. That means there's not even a little deity somewhere. Because he's such a I am that I am God, there couldn't be anyone else but I am. And that's why Jesus voiced it in the days of his flesh in John 8:58, when he looked at them and said, before Abraham was, I am. God's so good. He spoke from that temple of flesh and declared who he was, that they couldn't see it. Oh, I don't want to be blind as others. I want to see him. I want to know him. Praise God. In the third chapter of Philippians, Paul said, that I may know him. I want to know him. I don't have to always understand everything about him, but I want to know him. Because to know him accesses us to the understanding of him. Knowing him is relationship, fellowship based. It always brings understanding later. Praise God. And that's what we want. We want to understand the love that was manifested to us and not allow anything to take us away from the love of God, because it's going to try. That's why the scripture teaches us, right? Keep yourself, Jude said. Keep yourself in the love of God. Did you hear that? Why don't we take step back? I'll read this and just finish this in a moment. But keep yourself in the love of God. That means you're going to have to work at it. For all of those, salvation is not of works, you bunch of crazy nuts. I don't know where you got that doctrine. It burped somewhere out of somebody's building, but it didn't come from the Word of God. Jesus said, I've come to reward every one of you according to your works. Amen. No works, you're in trouble. Yes. Praise God. But the truth of the matter is, you've got works, whether it's evil works or good works. Amen. So you can lie to yourself and say, salvation's free. I don't have to do anything, but I believe in Jesus. That ain't going to cut it. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Doing stuff is work. And some people don't want to remove their own hand from their bosom because it strains them to work. But Jesus has given birth to a people who are laborers together with him. Amen. Laborers. We work, we do stuff. Amen. And salvation is a work. It's a work of God. It's a work of grace. Just because Jesus did what he did at Calvary doesn't mean you don't have to do anything because of Calvary. Jesus said, I'm bearing a cross you can't bear, but afterwards you'll have your own to bear. Don't you worry, you'll have plenty to do. You'll have plenty to do. Praise God. You'll have plenty to do. Don't you worry about that. But we are saved by works of God, not by works of the law, which is what Ephesians 2 is talking about. But anyways, let's read. There's so much to say here. I'm going to try to stick with it. But keep yourself in the love of God. I just want to throw that out because sometimes we go through stuff. We have challenges. We have things that interrupt our lives, things that show up in our face unexpectedly. And life can hurt us. If I would be so naive of a preacher to think that nobody is here with a Band-Aid on, I might need to go back to the prayer room. If I could assume that no one is here that might have battle scars, I would be naive and need to go back to the prayer room. Now, my hope is that we take the words of the song Pastor wrote, right? He not only took away the pain, but thank God he took away the scars. Yeah. Praise God. And I'm not saying that you're here just constantly wounded. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if we just roll back the clock, you've been through some stuff. Yeah. Now, I hope that the scars are healed as well. But I just know human nature enough to know it doesn't take much, that when it's kind of like your own human body, that when you press a little here, a little there, that's something you forgot about, that owie from a long time ago, it's a little sensitive still. Especially when you get older, you don't heal up as fast and as well as you used to. The bruises stay longer. The aches stay longer. They just kind of laugh at you the next morning and say, you thought I was gone. Ha! I'm going to be here a little while. And you kind of go, man, play Pastor's song one more time. Thank God. So we go through stuff, but my point is, no matter what you go through, don't ever allow your boo-boo to take you away from the love of God. Stay encouraged. Because Jesus can chastise us. There's a difference between the chastening of the Lord and people. He for our profit, people for their pleasure. And whenever the Lord deals with us, he deals with us so that we will keep ourselves in the love of God. Every time he deals with us, no matter whether it's good, bad, or if he feels like he's got to spank us in the diaper, it's to bring us forward. There's a difference. There have been so many people discouraged over the years in church world that they've quit the church. And I'm not here to throw a single stone at any one of them. Because every one of them got hurt. And in their humanity, they had a right to feel dejected and to feel like the only answer was to depart. I'm not justifying them, and I'm not saying it's okay to do that, but you can't just deal with people after they've been hurt and just give them a quick Bible lesson as to why they shouldn't be doing this. Praise God. It's like trying to calm a kid down, right, after he's flipped over the handlebars and whacked his face into the neighbor's bumper. You know, how do you talk? That's not a time for a lecture. That's a time for bandages and, you know, yeah, I know. I know they shouldn't have done that, little lady, I know. But that's a time for care, right? So keep yourself in the love of God. Let me finish reading here, and we'll come back to Isaiah, because there's something about that name. We sing that song, Jesus, right? We haven't sung it in a while. Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. And then we can go back in the logs of our mind and heart and remember the times which we called on that name and the Lord comforted us as tears streamed down our face. And praise God, as we went through some crushing things or we were sick or something went wrong or we needed a miracle. And we whispered that name because we believed that name. We believed the preaching about that name. We believed the things we read about that name were true. Amen, amen. And our prayer was acting upon that name in hope that the name of our Almighty God would come through for us and bring us help from the sanctuary. Right. Amen? Yes. We are the people of God. We are the people of the Word of God. That means every word of God is a word we live by. So when I pick up Psalm 20 and I read, praise God, that the name of the God of Jacob defends you, I can no matter how I'm feeling, what it looks like, I can start dusting myself off a little bit because I realize that there is a name. There is a name that is higher than my name. There is a name greater than my name. And inside of that name, there's peace, there's might, there's counsel, there's holiness, there's wisdom, there's healing, there's everything I need inside his own name. Amen. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Why? Because he humbled himself. Could I just say this before I finish reading? If you will learn to humble yourself, then it will be God that will lift you up. Praise God. But the reason why some people are not as happy as they could be is because they're spending too much time exalting themselves. And he don't reward you with Jesus' name when you exalt yourself. Amen. You don't experience Jesus' name when you exalt yourself. You only experience it when you humble yourself. That's why we're baptized in water in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Why? We are humbling ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not your name. You got a good name, but this name's a better name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Would you praise him a moment? Would you call upon the name of Jesus for a moment? Hallelujah. Oh, what a name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, what a name. Oh, what a name. When we talk about water baptism in Jesus' name, and we try to help some with a learned doctrine that Matthew 28:19 is not to be repeated, but performed. I mean, you can repeat it and speak it over a candidate as long as that candidate understands what the name is in that verse of Scripture. So the frustration with incorrect water baptisms is the fact that people are not going to experience the power of the name because it's never spoken. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Yes. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Isn't that what it says? Yes. The name of the Lord. So the name of the Lord is not Lord. Lord is who he is. Right. Especially on this side of the cross, anyway. He revealed himself as the Lord God Almighty to Abraham, Jehovah to Moses, and Jesus to us. But it's all the same name. Thank you. Amen. When you speak the name of Jesus, you are speaking the name of the Lord God Almighty. And what I'm trying to portray to you this afternoon is that when you speak his name, when you possess his name, God is saying, would you please look inside my name? I want you to look inside my name and see what's in my name so you understand what's happening when you call on my name. What attention you have when you call on my name. We talk about Jesus standing in the boat and calming storms. He has not gone out of the calming storm business. He can still calm storms. Even if the storm is between your two ears. Even if the storm is a broken heart. Even if the storm is a circumstance that you cannot control, you cannot change, it seems to be controlling you. Jesus is saying, oh, have you been baptized in my name? Are you the people of the name of the Lord Jesus? Praise God. Then call on my name so that I can perform my own name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Let's love him a little more. Let's love him a little more. So what we tried to help people understand in Matthew 28:19 And here's the problem is where anytime you preach the truth, you have to deal with doctrines that were taught by a lack of understanding and instituted by devils in some cases. And you have to preach through that. So you can't just walk up to the wall with a sledgehammer and just start slugging at it. You really can't. For these type of walls to come down, we have to do it God's way. And sometimes we just have to quietly march around the wall. Amen. And while we're quiet, everyone say quiet. Study to be quiet. We find ourselves in prayer, believing God and trusting God, because God will always, in teaching us how to acquire a deliverance, is that we are learning how to do things God's way, because his name will be exalted. Amen. He will never allow flesh to exalt itself in his presence. No flesh shall glory in his presence. When we learn how to from the Lord, it's always that he might be magnified and that we might know, had it not been for the Lord who is on our side, had it not been for the name of Jesus, we wouldn't have groceries on our table. Amen. Praise God. We wouldn't have food in the refrigerator, gas in our tank, bills paid, sicknesses healed, problems solved, divisions eradicated, love unfeigned, faith unfeigned, grace unfeigned. Are you with me here today? Hallelujah. Talking about a name. The name of the Lord is like an orange. And it's full of juice. It's full of vitamins. It's full of antioxidants. Praise God. It's full of all the nutrition and the health that you need. But sometimes we have to just not just think about Jesus' name and read about Jesus' name, but we've got to go to prayer, we've got to come and worship, and we got to start squeezing that name. Amen. Praise God. Some fruit you can squeeze. Hallelujah. In other words, you got to dig in. You got to pull it off the tree and bite into it. We have a particular variety of apple at the orchard that is the juiciest apple I've ever eaten. It's called Ludacrisp. I know. I didn't say ludicrous. Ludacrisp. So I have to emphasize that. Because when I heard the name, I'm like, wow, it's really not a good name for an apple. So ludicrous, but it's not. It's actually, wow. But it's a Ludacrisp. I don't know who names these things. They need therapy sometimes. But the first time my boss gave me the apple and I bit into it, I never saw an apple after I bit into it taste so juicy, but puddle up in the apple after I bit it. I mean, it's puddle. Woo! I was like, wow. That's Jesus' name for you. And when you take another bite, it puddles up. When you take another bite, it puddles up. Because there's so much in his name. God wants us to discover his name. He doesn't want us going beating everybody over the head who don't understand Jesus' name in water baptism and they don't understand the power of it remitting sins by the shed blood. We're not supposed to desecrate everybody with Jesus' name. We're supposed to be demonstrators, manifestors of all that's in Jesus' name, so that when they're among us and they're among you out in the world and they come among our worship, they say, there's something different here. It doesn't puddle up in my church. My self-induced religion that I've got because I read scriptures at home because I don't believe in going to church, when they finally show up, they need to feel the impact of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. They need to experience what they don't have yet. What they're trying to have. They need to see the difference, not as a gesture of ill will, but as a draw. Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Jesus said, come unto me. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, and it wasn't just a body lifted up, it was a body with a name lifted up. It was a body with a name lifted up. It's not the old rugged cross by itself that I'll cherish. It's the Christ of the cross that I'll cherish. And Christ's name is Jesus. Jesus' name was lifted up above the earth, praise God, to draw all unto itself. So that, oh, heaven help me right now. So that we can realize even ourselves bow to Jesus' name, especially when things in our life don't go right. We can't make every knee bow. It doesn't matter how people misinterpret the scripture, just confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. We're not against anybody who does that, because I've seen people do that with tears streaming down their face. The last thing I'd ever want to walk up to them and say, "You're not saved." After they're done repenting, truly repenting and wanting to know God and believing because of what they were just taught, "I am now saved." I don't have to strip that from them. God is able to teach them and bring them forward to a place where they realize, "Boy, I thought I was saved then, but I know I'm really saved now. I got the apple that juices up." Hallelujah, hallelujah. And beside that, there's nothing wrong with what they've done. It doesn't mean it's all of it, but there's nothing wrong with what they've done. They've got to come to that point anyway. So if they come to that point in another place that believes another thing, we know that they've got part of they just got part of it. But they're yet to know that name hanging there on the tree branch. We want to attract them by being people who have the name and have been influenced and affected and changed by the name of Jesus, so that they can feel like when they get around you, there's something mighty there. There's counsel there. There's something drawing me. I get around you and it's like, I want to be around you. That's the name of Jesus. That's the difference when we're baptized in his name and not baptized in his name. That we're living the experience of his name versus somebody saying they were going to do it and then they didn't. So what they did was they held the fruit out and said, and then took it back. Maybe not knowingly, but that's what happens. God doesn't like that. But for us, for people like us who preach and teach and live, this message that we know is right without a shadow of a doubt, we know from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you squeeze it, out comes the day of Pentecost, out comes water baptism in Jesus' name, out comes being full of the Holy Ghost. Not some acceptance speech where we believe God has just automatically come in. No, I'm talking about a real spirit of living God experience where he fills your soul, you speak with other tongues, you're illuminated and now become one with the Spirit of God. Your spirit's new, his spirit, you become one. Amen. It's not a mental thing, it's a real experience thing. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I got to come to a close here. And that's what he wants. But I'm reading these verses to us today because I'm trying to express it just how I'm expressing it now. It's more than us reading this a holiday season. It's more than us proving that Jesus is God and he's only one. You know what took me when I first came to church and I saw faces with a glow that I couldn't see it. I couldn't see where it was coming from, but I could see it. But I couldn't understand it. The look, it wasn't all about, you know, some people come to church and they're, "Well, your ladies dress like this and your guys dress like..." Do you have a rule here? What you're seeing is the effects of. But I wasn't honing in on how differently everybody was dressing as compared to what I once saw in the world. What I was seeing was a presence, and I was feeling a presence that let me know that I don't know as much as I thought I knew about God. And nobody got up there and bashed the Pope and slashed the nunnery away and spoke all these anti-Catholic things. Nobody did that to me. They didn't have to. They just invited me into the presence of the name, where I discovered that there's more to his name and more to the church than what I realized, but I saw it and experienced it through demonstration. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I've told you over and over again how spooked I was, how frightened I was, and that was okay. I thank God. I wouldn't change a thing. If I could go back, I wouldn't calm the service down. I'd say, run, jump, praise God, shout, speak with tongues. Have a great time. Amen, amen. And don't worry about the Catholic boy in the house. Because I needed to experience the authentic fullness of God in Christ Jesus. I needed to experience Acts 2:38 before I read it, heard about it, or understood it, or obeyed it. And I needed to feel it, experience it from the people who had been changed by it. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So let me read this one more time, Isaiah 9 and 6. Hallelujah. Wonderful. What a title. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, according to the 7th chapter of the same book, which means God with us. His name means God the Father with us. Not far from us, with us. If I say I'm Jesus' name, as some say, we're Jesus' name people. I better be. And it should mean God is with us. Hallelujah. That's what we're saying. God is with us. We're people of Emmanuel. God is with us. We're not just talking about him. God is with us. We had a good church service today so far because God is with us. She read in the midst of her, and he shall help her, and that writer, because he's in the midst of us. That's what makes us Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The real Spirit of God is among us and in us. Amen. Hallelujah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's a lesson that needs to be taught in every apostolic church in the world. To everybody that's not the pastor of a church. Don't you govern this thing. Not your responsibility. That's not on your shoulders. It's on his. The government's on his shoulder. Nobody else's. And if the pastor is established in any local assembly, manifests that governing, it's only through Christ, who is the pastor of the church. He's the pastor of every church. The great bishop and shepherd of our soul. That's what the word says. So every pastor has a pastor, even if the physical pastor that was once their pastor is dead. So please understand, I am not pastorless. I need the pastor to pastor me. Please understand that. The preacher just doesn't preach but not live by what he preaches. The preacher has a preacher. Praise God. I mean, he may be able to confer and talk with other preachers in the world that are around, people that they might know, and have prayer and get counsel and talk things in the ministry and learn and glean. Yeah, all that happens. I mean, we can get a lot of that just at goodpreaching.com, and most of them are dead. But yet being dead, the word yet speaks. Isn't that right? So we got lots of counsel, good preaching. But the preacher has a preacher. And I learned a long time ago, one of the lessons Pastor taught me early on, and I've kept it ever since. And he even forgot that he told me this. But I told him, I reminded him. I said, you told me something that I banked, and something that God reminded me of when I made my blunders trying to pastor. Let Jesus be the pastor. Let Wonderful be the pastor. Let Counselor be the pastor. Let the Mighty God be the pastor. Let the Everlasting Father be the pastor. And definitely let the Prince of Peace be the pastor. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, and when we get it right, this is what happens in the next verse. And this is why I love the Word of God. There's so many little gems in there, so many little things to read about, and so many little things that he can show you in prayer. Even as a preacher, you can kind of like, oops. Especially if you've done something a certain way, or you have an attitude about things, or you try to go about something in a certain way. If it's not supposed to be, or it needs to be adjusted, God has a way of showing you a couple verses to kind of take you back a little bit. so that you do things the right way. And just remind you. Sometimes we just need reminders in the Word, even as saints, even if you're not involved in like teaching, pulpit ministry, and all that. Everybody has involvement in the ministry. So don't, I mean, we're all, the church is a team of reaching out in however you do it in your everyday living. Praise God. But watch, verse 7, of the increase of his government, when the government is upon his shoulder, the government will increase. When it's on yours, you'll close the church. You'll split the church. You'll cause division. You'll hurt souls. But when we all allow the increase, because it's on his shoulders and things are flowing, see, it's a body, and we're all members in particular. We're all members one of another when it flows right, because everything is compacted, right? All joints and marrow and strand, everything is held together by what? The Spirit of the living God, and by the name of Jesus, and by the one who is the head. He is the head of the church. When he's the head, the body's okay. Whack somebody's head off, they die. But when Jesus is the head, the body functions as it's supposed to. And the increase of his ability to govern. The reason why you look the way you look and the answer that you could give is because I'm being governed by the Lord. If you ever want to tell somebody about why you don't cut your hair, ladies, tell them the Lord governs me. Know if that was a surprise statement to some or not. I'm just making a point. It doesn't matter what change God puts in your life by his word. Instead of saying, well, our church believes it like this, right? Not that you're saying that. Why not answer by what you do and live when people question why don't you do? They may not be fighting with you. They just might be trying to figure out what's so wonderful. And why you walk as if you've got counsel in your life. When you've got the counselor in your life, you watch your steps. You pay attention to the where you're going. You do things with prudence. You forethink before you do. You guide your life in a way that most people don't today, because everyone today in the world, it seems like, generally speaking, is like, do the wild thing. Whatever you want to do goes. There's no law. There's no anything against it. There's no God to believe in. Everything they want to do, they do. But you, somebody's governing you. And that's a good thing. And when Jesus has the government upon his shoulder and the governing upon his shoulder, it will increase, his ability to increase. Look, when we get Jesus personally where he should be in our life, his ability to govern us will increase as well. I want him to govern me. I want him. I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. Isn't that a verse of scripture in the New Testament? Let the peace of God what? Rule. If it rules, kings rule. What it's saying is, let this Prince of Peace, let this mighty King rule in your heart. Let him increase in his desire to govern you. Isn't that right? And when you govern, when he governs you, when this name of Jesus, this is what's all about the name of Jesus. It's not just about one act of water. I keep pointing in that direction. It's where we usually have this. Yeah, it will be. I'm looking at desks right now. But when we're baptized in Jesus' name, this is what it's all about. It's not about a one-time thing. Well, I was baptized. But this is like why we like to say, are you still baptized? Yeah. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Not just a statement alone about be baptized in Jesus. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's about 2 years from now, are you still baptized in Jesus' name? Is the mighty God governing you? Is the counselor governing you? Is the everlasting Father your Father? Amen. Of the increase of his government and peace. You ever need peace? Can you look back maybe to the not so distant past and see a moment where you just needed some peace, whether it was physically because of all that you're trying to do in life, peace of mind because maybe you got burned out? Anybody ever get burned out? I've been there. Physically burned out, mentally burnt out. Been there. All of it together burnt out. But when Jesus is the governor and this name of Jesus is operating in our life, of the increase of his government and peace, no end. So that means every time I bite that apple, it's going to puddle up. And it'll never end. I bite it again, it'll puddle up with refreshing juice and taste and flavor. And then I can do it again and again and again and again. What Jesus is saying, when you walk with the Lord, that's why we're saying when you walk with the Lord, you don't get bored. Right? Sing hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I had a couple of yays. That's good. Been too long since we sung it. Let's all stand. I'm going to stop right now. But of the increase of his government and peace, when we do things the way God wants us to do it, there's no end. No end. It doesn't matter what you go through in life. Praise God. What you need. We have access to something that increases. Increases. I may not need more miracles. I might need the governor to increase. If I'm lacking miracle, it may be because I'm lacking the increase of him governing me. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. No end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord will perform this. Have you ever had zeal for anything? Excited about doing this? Driving a new car? Zeal. Not fear, zeal. Just let me get in it, and I can actually go beyond the block. And zeal. I know what it was like. I remember. We all do. When we first, that sense of independence. I mean, I could go out of state on my own. And just that freedom, you just wanted to drive and drive. And every time someone needed to go somewhere, oh, I'll drive. Zeal. That goes away, yeah. It becomes a... So like, can I get out of the car, please? But God's zeal. We know what it's like to have zeal. But what about thinking about when I come to church, God is zealous to be mighty. He's zealous to be wonderful. You might come in here dragging because life just kicked you upside and down and threw you into the church house. So have church. You just kind of slid across the floor and looked up like that dude in the roadside who needed the Samaritan to come. Good place. I don't care if life threw you in the church or not. You were thrown in the presence of the zeal of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's his point. He's going to bind up your wounds with water and wine. And he poured in the oil and the wine. So God's zeal is here for you today. I'm done. His zeal is for you right now to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, but not above what he could ask or think. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So he's saying, come and get it. Praise God. Whosoever will, come and pray and seek his face. If I didn't bore you too bad, praise God. Try to give you something to say that the name of Jesus is more than what we're making it out to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to refresh ourselves on what is in the name of Jesus and make sure you are still Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, let's love and worship him today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name, God. Blessed be your holy name, God. Blessed be your holy name, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God. Mighty to save. We sang that the other night. He is mighty to save. So how do you do that? How do you get a hold of God? How do you know what to say other than just not say anything at all? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You ever called somebody on the phone, talked to them a while? Hey, Billy Bob, how you doing? So prayer is a conversation from the heart. Hallelujah. Lord, I need you today. God, I want to be saved. God, I want to please you. I want you to thrive in my life. Praise God, I want you to increase in my life. Praise God, I want your governing power and effect to increase. Praise God. So that means when I go to live my life throughout the week, and all of a sudden there's something that I'm used to doing, and the governor says, now I have a choice to make. See, we can talk about all sorts of things. For some of us, there were things that we used to wear that after we were filled with the Holy Ghost, we were now filled with a governor. We may not have realized it, the extent and the depth of who he was, but all of a sudden that governor was going to work immediately. And we went to put that something on, and the governor said, too skimpy, too tight. Guy or gal I'm talking about. Today, guys need to learn how to become guys again and girls, girls. And God will teach them. God will teach a masculine girl how to be feminine and a feminine boy how to be masculine. Because the governor, when he gets inside, he can change people. We're not of that crowd that's just blessing it and letting it go and turning a blind eye and say, we'll just accept it. We'll love everybody. But we're here to preach about the governor. And when he gets in your soul, he has criteria he'll establish for his men and for his women. We are the people of God. That's the point. And if he doesn't like stuff we're doing, the question isn't about all the stuff or the issues. It's about whether or not we allow the governor to increase his governing. Yes. I could never change you, and I'll never try. But if I can preach Christ into you, I know if he gets into you, you let him in, and he'll try. He won't. I mean, he'll more than try. He'll do. And then we can trust that you are the one that are allowing him to do the doing, because you said, come and govern me. Can we have that song? Praise God. I'm done. I said I was done, so I have to forgive me. But that's what it's about. That's the depth of it all. That's why pastor would preach to others and say, don't you try to dress anybody. Don't you try to tell people how to live. You leave them alone. You let them come to church and live and move and have their being. Praise God. We had to teach some people who are church people that move from other places to here who are so used to their standards of holiness. And ladies, it better be this long. You better never cut it. You better never wear this. Stick this in your nose or ear or wherever else. And try to govern people. We don't govern one another. We let Christ get in us and govern us. Amen. It won't take rocket science for you to know where you should be, where you shouldn't be, what you should look like, or what you shouldn't. Amen. That's not the issues. Those are minor things that Jesus can take care of. Amen. All right. Stop me.